While traveling through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, I'm sure from time to time those Israelites, and it is even recorded for us, they got fairly discouraged over some things that they were encountering and things that were happening to them. And you in a like manner may be reading through the Bible, and you get to a part of the Bible in the book of Leviticus where you get pretty discouraged and feel like there's no point in it and you want to give up. In Leviticus chapter 20, begin there with me reading in verse 22. It says this: "You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my rules and do them." That's what you should do. You should do my statutes, do my rules. "And that the land," this is why, "that the land where I am bringing you to live may not vomit you out. "And you shall not walk in the customs of the nation that I am driving out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I detested them." God tells the children of Israel why they should keep His rules and regulations and His guidelines for life. That is actually the way to live. He said, "You do all this so that the land that I'm giving you, the promised land, will not vomit you out." And that's pretty graphic imagery there from the words of God. And it is this: I will not give you this land if you do not obey me. That is why I am giving it to you, and I am driving out all of these people who are not doing my will. I detest them. I don't want them. I abhor them. I cannot stand them. And in verse 24, "But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, and a land that is flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore separate the clean beast from the unclean and the unclean bird from the clean. And you shall not make yourselves detestable by beast or by bird or by anything with which the ground crawls, which I have set apart for you to hold unclean." So God said, "I'm giving you this land. I have set you apart from everyone else. You are a special people. You are my chosen people. And now I want you to separate out the clean from the unclean, the good from the bad, as I tell you the things that are clean and the things that are unclean." Why should you separate these things out? Well, in verse 26 he tells us, "You shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples that should be mine." God had set them apart. He had made them special. They were His people. And it all came back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These were His chosen people. These are the ones that would do my will. "You will be holy to me, and I am holy." And for many, Leviticus is a boring, nonsensical book of the Bible. It's something you read through, not read to understand. You just try to endure it and survive it, and I just get the check mark for participation. That's the way we approach Leviticus a lot of times when we read the Bible, or even read just a passage from the Bible in Leviticus. But in this verse, we find out why God has made all of these rules and these regulations and these boundaries for the children of Israel. It is to help, and it is to consecrate and to separate them and to make them holy, like God is holy. That's why He has given them these rules and regulations and these boundaries of things that they are to do and things that they are not to do, and how big certain things are to be and how small, and the dimensions and the... All of that was given to help them to be holy. To be holy. Thinking all the way back to when God called them up and how they were to live. His desire for them was then and always will be for them to be holy. The Lord God is separate. He Himself is set apart from anything else and anyone else. God mentions that He has separated Israel out among everyone else. That they are to be like they are to be unlike anyone else. That they are in fact chosen. That they are special. And He has separated them out. He's separated them out since the beginning with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are His people. They were called to be Him, and because of their lineage, because of their heritage, and because of the promise that God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob about this land that was to come and how they would be God's people, He has set them apart and put them in this place that we call the Promised Land. And because they are separated out, their neighbors, the other nations, had not lived like God wanted them to live. And that's why He separated them out. And He was told the children of Israel to drive them out. The other nations had made for themselves their own gods, their own ways of life, living however they decided to live amongst themselves and by themselves with no repercussions, with no authority other than their own. And so they lived how they wanted to live. But God was separate. God is separate, and He is separated out because He is the divine creator of the universe. It is by Him whom is the creator that we live and move and have our very being. He is separated out because He has put it all and controls it all. When He created this universe, He put us in the perfect spot so that we could inhabit Earth. He put us just far enough away from the sun that we wouldn't burn up and just close enough. Or He put us just far enough away from the sun so we wouldn't get hot, but not too far as we would freeze to death. God put us in the perfect spot so that we could live. He has put order into everything. And He has put order into creation and order even into the how we live and the way that our body functions and the things that our body does. He separated Himself out as being holy, wholesome, and good. God is all of these things. And many times when we think of holy and we have this stern look of imagery of how there can be no happiness. But in fact, God is happy when we serve Him. And we bring happiness to the Lord when we honor Him as God. He is wholesome and good and wants what is best for all peoples. And He knows what is best for each and every person because that He has laid out for us in His Word. We are to be holy as He is holy. He is wholesome and He is good. And He is happy in being holy. And choosing His followers puts them in a relationship to Him. He put the children of Israel in a relationship with Him. And the followers of Christ today are now in a relationship to God. Separate and set apart from being unlike anyone else in this world, choosing to be followers of Christ. The children of Israel had chosen to follow God, and that put them in a relationship with Him. And as long as they followed God, and as long as they trusted Him, and as long as they were okay with Him, and they would honor Him, they would be taken care of. Every need was met because He is good. When you think about in every way the children of Israel were taken care of, I think oftentimes of they went to a place and there was Mara, bitter water, and God made the water sweet so that they would not need to long back for Egypt. They were hungry, and he made bread fall from the sky. And right now, everyone is rushing to Walmart and the dollar store to try to get the bread and so that they can have a milk sandwich. But I tell you this, God gave bread, and it made it fall from the sky. And yet they complain. They say, well, this bread goes bad too quick. It doesn't even have an expiration date on it. If you leave it in the pantry overnight, it spoils. It's full of worms. It molds. He said, I give you every day what you need to sustain you for that day. Trust me. Only gather what you need for the day. And that's what they had to learn to do, is follow Him as He leads them. You see, they had a duty to do. The duty number one that was assigned to them was to keep the statutes of God. And there was a good reason as to why they should do that. Well, number one, we could say, well, God told them to. But the statutes were for their honor. It would bring honor to them. And obedience to these statutes would bring lasting comfort. Once again, we think about how God comforted them and took care of them and had all of their needs met when they followed the statutes of God and did things the way that God prescribed. They were taken care of. They were comforted. Even their wrongdoings and their sin was covered by the blood of a lamb offered on their behalf. They had comfort and peace in knowing at night that God had passed over them. You should keep my statutes, and you shall not walk in the manners of other nations. That was another one of their duties. That they didn't need to be like those people that they were driving out of the land. That makes perfect sense. They were separated from them. They were not like them. They were set apart. They must not associate with them, nor should they learn their ways. You can only be around someone for such a short period of time before you start talking like them or acting like them or participating in what they're participating in. Or at least, if nothing else, you're intrigued and you then have a desire maybe to learn a little bit more and to try to do whatever that thing is, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. And so God knew that the people of the nations of which they were driving out were bad. And so He commanded them that they must be separated from them and not associate with them. Don't do what they're doing. The manners of these nations were bad enough that the people of the world, if you will, were doing them. But when God's people participate in activities that are activities of the world, it is far worse. Because we reflect not only of ourselves, but we also reflect of God. And people may mock us and say, well, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. You're participating in getting drunk. I thought you were supposed to be a Christian, but yet I saw you down at... We stain our own name and we stain the name of God. And even people of the world will say to you that going to certain places and participating in certain activities is not a good thing. But as a Christian, as a child of God, as one who is separate, we are held to a much higher standard, not only in the eyes of the world, but we should hold ourselves to a higher standard that is set and lived before us in Jesus. Their duty number three was that they shall put a difference between clean and unclean, between good and bad. This is holiness, to discern the things that differ and not live at large and just do what I want to do, when I want to do it, or how I want to do it. To discern that which is good and bad, not only in what we do, but also in what we say. We shouldn't say or do anything that we decide to do, but rather we should speak and act with caution and thought to keep wholeness and purity. We should only be speaking about the things that which God has spoken to us about. We should even then speak cautiously and thoughtfully, that we should put our mind before we speak. Think before you speak. There's a few types of people. There's the ones that think before they speak. There's the ones that think while they're speaking. And there's the ones that think after they spoke. And we should be those using our words with caution and thoughtfulness. And the children of Israel should have been aware that they were entering into an infected land. Yes, it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey, but it was also infected with nations that were full of idols and idolatries and superstitious usages and witchcraft, and Israel would be apt to fall in love with those ideas. Because if they didn't keep to those duties to separate and not associate with those people, they would want to be intrigued by it and be likely to fall in love with it. And as we read through history, we find out that there were times where they did indeed, they fell in love with the ideas of those in whom they were supposed to drive out. Whether that was by intermarrying and maybe accepting some things that they did, and just, well, if it's, you know, I'm not going to participate, but I'll be around it, and then being around it will ultimately lead to you also participating. But we're able to see that God abhorred or detested, depending on the version that you're reading, those who walked in this manner. There was nothing that He wanted to do with them. Because, why? Because they were unholy and He was holy. We see God wiping out those who practiced evil and kept unholy ways from all the way back to the time of the flood, where He wiped all but 8 souls off of this earth. When they invaded into the promised land, they were to wipe out all of those that were participating in these activities, and ultimately even heaven itself. Those who participate in idols and idolatries and superstitious usages and do not honor God as God will be kept out of heaven. This world in which we live is an infected land, and we long for one that has been cured and free and has been cleansed. And that place is created by God that is called heaven. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, there in verse 13, reading down to 21, it says this: "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each other, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. For He who was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Be holy as God is holy. That is what the Israelites were called to do, and that too is also today, as Christians, what we are called to do. Complete holiness is the desire and duty, or at least it should be. And if you truly are a Christian, this is your desire and duty, to have complete holiness. It has to be part of our lives in every manner. Whether it's our civil affairs or religious affairs, whether it's our secular work or what we are trying to do here at church, It's how we are with people. It's how we talk to people. It's how we are with our friends and our enemies. We must always strive to imitate Him. We have the perfect image of God as man in Jesus Christ. And although we cannot ever be equal with God, we should always aspire to a state of thinking and acting like Him as much as possible. We can see how Jesus moved and acted whenever He had any kind of trial of His life. We too face similar trials in much of the same way, tempted as He is tempted. But yet He did not sin. He has set forth the pattern and the example for us to follow. And we can find all of that and we can look for all of that here in God's written Word. And the written Word of God is holy. We call it the Holy Bible. We then can hold the words of life that implore us to be holy as God is holy. That should be our aim. That should be our goal. Throughout the course of time, men penned words inspired by the Word of God, and now it is set aside as a collection of books for us and letters for us to read of how God wants us to live, and each and every person and every Christian to live out their life and try to be holy. These are the set apart and the sacred words of God. They are wholesome words of God. They are pure and undefiled words of God. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, it says this, "But you are His chosen people, the King's priests. You are a holy nation, people who belong to God. He chose you to tell about the wonderful things that He has done. He brought you out of the darkness of sin and into His wonderful light." Who are the chosen people of God? In the preceding verses, we find out that the ones who offer up themselves as spiritual sacrifices, living for Christ, who have elected to build upon the stone that the builders rejected and who became the chief cornerstone. They are talking about Jesus. When we are aligned with Jesus Christ, when we become Christians, we become His chosen people. We become part of the kingdom of God. He is our King. It was nailed above His head on that cross. Here is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And He is truly the King of the world because He still lives and triumphed over death. He is the King of all kings. He is the great I Am. We are His chosen people to serve in His kingdom. Now, that wasn't always the case. At one time, we walked in darkness, in the darkness of sin, and we were happy in the darkness of sin. But then we were revealed the light, and in the light, there is no darkness within Him. It made manifest and showed us the error of our ways, and we then longed for the light, and we shunned the darkness. In the past, you were not a special people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now God has given you His mercy. There was a time where we lived separated out from God. We wanted to separate ourselves, not from the world, but separate ourselves from God. We weren't special people then. But now we are God's people because we have elected to become Christians and follow after Christ. And when we were lost and in the darkness of the world, we did not receive mercy. But now God has given us mercy because we have elected to follow after Him, and He has given us what we don't deserve. And He holds back from us the punishment that we do deserve. We are called to be holy. Christians of all nations, kindreds, tribes, tongues, peoples are now one nation under the King, under one King, and that is Christ. We make up the church. No matter your skin shade, no matter what language you speak or what accent you speak within that language, no matter whether you're in the subtropical climate or the subarctic climate or wherever you are, we are all one nation, one in one kingdom under Christ. We are separated for His service. We have been washed and cleaned and sanctified through holy baptism. We have been washed in the blood, cleansed and added to His church, added to His kingdom. And we stand ready to serve Him and count it a worthy honor to be persecuted for Him. And we should long to always be of service to Him. We as a Christian have a duty, a goal, an aspiration commanded to us to be holy because I am holy. That's what we should always long to do. To be holy like God is holy. He has laid out for us a desire not only to do that, but a promise that if we do that, He will always take care of us, comfort us. And although it may not be here on this earth in which we are taken care of and comforted, we can rest assured that He has taken care of us and comforted us and preparing a place for us, our promised land, of where all the enemies have been driven out, and it is perfect, sweet rest with God in heaven forever. Let's go to God in prayer at this time. Our Father in heaven, we humble ourselves as we ask for Your help, that You will strengthen us and encourage us to long to be holy like You. Father, we pray that everything that we do glorifies and honors You. Father, we pray for those that are lost of this world, that something may be said or done, or they may see us simply living a holy life for You, and they may ask us a question. Father, be with us to be ready to give an answer. Help us all to strive to study Your Word more, that we could answer anyone that asks us a question about You. Father, help us to be there for one another in times of heartache and in times of loss, that we could keep striving for You and longing for You and to be holy as You are holy. Father, forgive us from when we fail You. Help us to know that we are forgiven, that we are then washed and cleaned and sanctified and set apart to be made holy once again. Father, we pray that You will always be with us. Comfort us during this time of separation, that we could come together once again. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
I want to thank you for joining us here on this Lord's Day and this Bible study. And we hope that you are well and safe. We want to thank you for tuning in and watching and encouraging us. We hope that this service has been uplifting to you and encouraging to you as we worship God together. We pray that you will stay safe and stay well, recover quickly, and we hope to one day meet again here at this place. And if not here, we'll one day meet again in heaven. Thank you for joining us.